changed down. Sweet Liberty, sweet Liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn.
Is today the 11th?
Roll away the dawn and let me see.
Yeah, 12. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday. It always is Wednesday when we do this broadcast. Actually, I'm filling in for Darren now because Darren is the actual host. Darren Weeks is the host of the Sweet Liberty broadcast. And he asked me if I would take Wednesdays for him because he has to work on Wednesdays and didn't want to have to pre-tape his broadcast. So I feel very honored to be standing in for Darren Weeks is basically what I'm doing. I want to share our spiritual message with you. This is one I just pulled out of the box from the Course in Miracles workbook, page 56. Boy, this is short and sweet. Listen to this. Those who see themselves as whole make no demands. Those who see themselves as whole make no demands. Now this, every now and then I pull one of these cards, Alan, and I leave it sitting up. And so every time I'm here at this table, I can read that. It's like a message,
yeah,
you know, to me.
Uh-huh.
So, and how are you tonight?
Very wholesome.
Very wholesome. Very wholesome. Are you holy?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Folks, Alan Watt is our guest this evening, as he has been every Wednesday night since almost forever now. And so I don't want to act like when I say, hi, Alan, how are you, that we may have new listeners. And Alan Watt is from Canada. His website is cuttingthroughthematrix.com. It is linked at sweetliberty.org. And you may be listening from Sweet Liberty, or you may be listening from First Amendment Radio's website. You can listen live either place. And Alan has been a long-time guest, off and on, sometimes off for a long time, and sometimes on for a long time. And what the thrust, if you would, of the topics of our conversations, for the most part, are ancient history, but bringing it up into the present. Because as Alan has pointed out so many, many times, what is happening today was planned long, long ago. And Alan, you've said this before, and I see that the probability is that it is so. I don't know, because I wasn't there and done that, but the hidden hand, the whoever it is, whatever it is, whatever group or small group behind a plan to actually rule the world, according to what you've said, is that they've been very, very close many times before, and they've never made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've also said that you, in your opinion, that you don't believe that they've ever really had the actual intricacy of the technology that they have today.
That's right. That's right. It's very much like Aldous Huxley was talking about at Berkeley. His famous speech in Berkeley that's on my website, he says he doesn't see any reason why a scientific dictatorship couldn't go on indefinitely, because it would entail mind control of the masses, and they would be unaware that most of the thoughts in their head were given to them by their masters, you might say.
And in the past, what you've pointed out to us is that they were manipulating the minds, the behavior, the beliefs. And when you can manipulate the thought, the beliefs of an individual, you can manipulate their behavior.
Oh, yeah.
It's behavior modification.
It's your whole world view, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And Plato, who all the big boys admire, put it very well when he talked about Plato's Plato's cave.
You want to explain that to our listeners who may not have heard it?
The way he phrased it in a story form was if a bunch of men were brought up in a cave, somehow fixed to always look at the back of the cave, never towards the entrance, then and they were reared from babies in that cave, their whole world view would be to do with the cave. That would be their world, in fact. They wouldn't know there was an outside world, and they would make up...
In other words, they never saw the light, huh, Alan?
They never saw the light. Well, it's behind them, too, so they'd see shadows on the wall as the sun,
mm-hmm.
you know, as the sun moved during the day. And then they'd build a whole philosophy or theology based upon what they knew, which was limited to the cave, and eventually one person gets out of the cave, travels around the world, comes back and tries to tell them, you know, there's a whole world out there, and here's the real meaning of these shadows at the back of the cave, and they want to kill them because it goes against what they already believe.
I had an email from a gentleman, a PhD,
mm-hmm.
who had read something that I wrote, and he said that I was delusional and that I had a warped view of the world.
Oh, really?
And I said, well, you know, I think it's not nice to call someone delusional just because their view of the world doesn't match yours.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can trust me on this. It isn't that I have a warped view of the world. It is a warped world.
Yeah.
And he wrote back and said...
Plus, if someone like that to talk, he said his head squared so many times, they probably think the earth is flat. You know?
So, in other words, would you explain to our listeners what you mean when a person is squared?
When they have their little hat put on during graduation,
mm-hmm.
with their degrees, it's all Masonic. I mean, we live in a Masonic system. And that's what Albert Pike talked about. He said... he basically referred to the whole system as being Masonic, which it is. He said, including those Masons who have not gone through the formal degrees. What he meant was those who have gone through the education process and had their little cape put on and their little square hat. It meant that their minds had been shaped by the system. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Alan, does that have anything to do with what you were talking about? This was quite some time ago, about bricks in the wall.
Yeah, that too, because the Mason, the perfect man who attains all the virtues, as they call them, and is perfected, and that's the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, it's called the Rite of Perfection, they become an ashlar. An ashlar is a perfectly shaped brick, you might say, from a rough stone, metaphorically speaking, he's shaped into a perfect brick and square.
I see. And then you mentioned a whole song that was titled Bricks in a Wall.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Pink Floyd song about
Pink
it.
Pink Floyd, yeah.
And that's what it meant. You're a brick in their wall of their system. And the video that went along with the Pink Floyd song is well worth trying to get a hold of, because it shows you them going through the school system. Then in a cartoon format, it shows you them all getting turned into hammers for the army. So there's a whole marching set of hammers walking. And it shows you the children got conveyor belts like robots into the system. And that's what it is.
You're saying that with this song, they did a video, music video.
Yeah.
Somebody might be able to find that on the Internet.
It's what's the...
There's very little that you can't find on the Internet today, you know.
Yeah. Except the truth from the big boys.
Well, you know what? That isn't necessarily so.
Oh.
I mean, when you say the truth, well, okay. I guess we didn't... I mean, truth is truth, I know, but there...
Well, what I mean is confessions, put that way.
Confessions, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
as far as source document, it, there is so much available. It's incredible.
Yeah, what they generally give us is what's happened already, though.
Yeah.
What I mean is that we never get told... We're never in on the end... the end time, the present or the future.
Right.
And that's kept for 50 years down the road when they declassify the documents. And that's the real world, this free democracy, they keep telling us. all the big things that happen are told 50 years after the event. That's the real world.
And then the events were pre-told in the protocols.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, Theodore Herzl is the one that was at least allegedly responsible for that, that he had written down the notes from a meeting, I think in 1890-something. And somebody just recently sent me an email, and in France, there's a Theodore Herzl, can't remember if it's a monument or a, but something, an acknowledgement, recognition for Theodore Herzl.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, well, that isn't, you know, like Theodore Herzl didn't write that.
No.
But how do you know that, and who do you say wrote it, Alan?
Well, it was actually out in France long before that, and there was a form of it went round that was supposed to be, again, a modern, or, well, at that time it was a modern version of a dialogue between two philosophers. And it went along the same format as that, and that was published in France in the 1700s. So the protocols is a takeoff of it. However, you got to remember that the high elite of the world, of all creeds, you might say, are all part of the same club. So,
why do you think whoever wrote that would refer to non-Jews, Gentiles, as goyim?
Because all the profane, all the little people.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. I remember. I'll tell you what. I think it was when I was looking up the word pagan, and every single definition that I found, besides to find out that pagan means rural folk, and that what they called a heathen, those were people of the earth, people of the heath, and yet, and the word Gentile was also a definition on every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's always been
a pagan is a Gentile. Well, does Gentile mean non-Jew?
It can mean non-Jew, of not of the inner club, you might say, of that particular club. But really, I mean, it's more, and even the Masons, the High Masons sometimes call the Gentiles the same thing.
Okay.
Gentiles, you know, or Goyim.
Yes.
So, see, High Masonry is a rite of perfection, and all this stuff goes back to at least Babylon and probably before. That is the mystery religion. And of course the mystery religion hid itself behind so many different authorized religions, so that the authorized religions would spend forever fighting each other.
But Alan, why would they write this? Well, of course, maybe they didn't quote expect it to become well known, but it seemed to me, of course, the elite have always caused the what they call anti-Semitism. They've always caused the divisiveness. They've always orchestrated it. So maybe that does make sense that,
and a clue,
they would claim
right
to do
there.
It.
Yeah. A clue is right in there where it was translated by Nihilus. Nihilus?
Yes.
The Nile, you know. There's a clue right in there.
And what? No, well, I don't know what that means.
Well, the Nile, the river Nile, is Egypt. It's old mystery religion again.
Oh, okay.
It's right there for all the Masons to see. It's like they've been on the clue. Yeah. So they have everybody fighting each other. And I was on a program recently. And I said, why do you think the Catholic Church, which was just the Roman Empire, remember, reincarnated, the Universal Church, that's what Catholic means. It's the universal
Catholic
church.
Right, uh-huh.
And it was universal because it took in all of the old religions into one.
Yes.
And it's in its architecture, it's in its ritualism, it's in everything. The whole structure of the ancient mystery religions is in there. I said, why do you think they brought in, they forbid Gentiles to do usury. They brought in Jews to do it for them.
Right.
And at the same time, the Catholics taught the people in churches to love their king, you see. Always love your king. Now, if the king was going around taxing you, you cannot despise the king. So they get someone else who's a foreigner and a Jew who's always put down in the Catholic Church, you see, to do it. So he took the heat, and he had to collect the money and taxes for the king and the Vatican.
Well, wasn't Saul a tax collector? Or was he a tent maker?
He was a...
One of his disciples. One of the disciples was a tax collector, wasn't he?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so they always used them for tax collection. They took the heat, but they had to pass the money up to take their cut and pass the money up to the king. And then the rest went to the Vatican. So the Vatican came out squeaky clean because you hate the person that's demanding the money, you know.
Sure.
That's who takes the heat. And so they used that.
Were they tax collectors for the Romans, too?
Yeah.
Under Roman rule?
Yeah, I remember in the history books they came in. They were financing the wars, but most of them actually came from Greece.
Most of who?
These particular Jews.
Oh.
But they weren't called Jews at that time.
Yeah. What were they called?
Well, there was Hebrews.
I thought Hebrew means Haparu, or with the dusty ones, wanderers.
Born forever, because nobody's ever agreed upon it. There was a Haparu.
Haparu.
That's a whole field in itself.
And that is not the root of the Hebrew, of the word Hebrew?
It could or it couldn't be. Nobody can be sure. But all we know is that someone made up histories in ancient times. Someone or some group gave religions to people.
Yeah.
And they've never stopped, actually.
Yeah. Well, so you talked about the priesthood. I guess that we're kind of doing a little review tonight.
Yeah.
But I think that's okay because we didn't plan it.
Uh-huh.
But we have new listeners. And these are maybe some things that some of our listeners didn't hear but quite some time ago. And I believe it's in one of your books.
Uh-huh.
That there is evidence that on the island of Crete that the religions for the world were written.
Yeah, they did unearth what seemed to be a library or a monastery too, a combination, where it wasn't just the other nations' religions that they had the data off, but they found almost like they were updating it. So it's almost as though that was a center for a priesthood to give religions to different people.
So then, if that was so, you know, as the evidence at least would allow some assumption, then it appears that once these were written, they just spread out and took these religions to the different... because there were so many similarities, weren't there, Alan?
Too many. I mean, here's the thing. We have in the West, we were taught that the Bible was history.
Yeah.
For thousands of years.
Well, actually, we were taught that the Bible is the undivided and divine word of God.
Yeah, but people thought it was also a history.
Uh-huh.
And yet there's no record of an Israel and any other ancient people's records, who left lots of records, especially the Egyptians and the Persians. There's lots of records and histories, but there's no people called the Israeli people.
No people, right. They were just different tribes.
Were
there even those tribes, like the quote, 12 tribes?
Well, no, that's all astrological.
Okay.
And so is the religion. It's all astrological or astronomical religion. It's nothing to do with real people. That's where the exoteric has never changed.
Mm-hmm.
But... what we do know is that supposedly 72 priests wrote the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
And this is what's accepted today, means mainstream. They wrote it in Egypt.
In Greek. Yeah.
And that was used, that was the version used in Jerusalem right up until the first century A.D.
Uh-huh.
Although they claim that there was one brought out just before the beginning of that century, but even then the Greek version was still the most popular. So you try and think, written for a Hebrew people who spoke Aramaic.
Yeah.
I mean, who's kidding who, you know? So really I think the Old Testament was put together later. We know the Talmud took over in about the second century AD, and 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, or in that area of Jerusalem, there was many different peoples living, and the rabbis or the Pharisees were only a small sect. It wasn't until after the big war with Rome, the rebellion, when they collapsed in AD 72 or whatever, that the rabbis rose to take over the whole religion. And the Talmud, which was it's referred to in the New Testament, the Talmud, under the traditions of the elders. That's what they mean by it. So that's what they were accused of, that these particular Pharisees, is that they'd thrown away the word of God, which was the Torah, and put into place the traditions of the elders, which was the Babylonian Talmud.
However, the Torah is based on the first five books, I understand, uh-huh, of the Old Testament.
Yeah, the Pentateuch, supposedly.
Yeah, well, the whole plan that we're struggling under today was laid out in those first five books, Alan.
Well, it's not a plan. If you read it exoterically, you'll always believe that. If you understand the esoteric meanings, that's why it's on every Masonic lodge, that black
book. Well, okay, but there is an exoteric and an esoteric meaning.
Yeah.
So for the exoteric meaning, so much of what you read, you uh-huh can relate to what is going on today.
That's mainly to do with the system. See, the rule book is the Old Testament.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's the rule book for
system
the system
today.
What's allowed, what's not allowed for the boys at the top. That's their rule book.
What, the first five books?
Yeah, pretty well. And again, that was a fictitious thing. There was no real Moses.
I know that's not my point.
Uh-huh.
My point is, for example, slavery, people who are Bible believers,
uh-huh,
well, it was okay with Jehovah.
Yeah.
So it's okay. You can be
some of them say that. Yeah.
You could be a quote Christian,
uh-huh,
and you can keep slaves because it was okay.
Yeah.
And
Paul sort of verified that too.
Huh?
Paul was the same in the New Testament.
Okay.
He said for the slaves to obey their masters.
Right, and he wasn't he basically the one that pushed and promoted and actually.
Well, we don't even know if he existed.
If he existed, I know.
See, if you get caught up in this, you end up getting angry because it's designed to get you angry.
Well, I'm not angry.
Yeah, but that's what it does, you see, it's designed that way. And really, when you end up thinking about it, people are going around and trying to kill each other over solar and stellar and uh-huh lunar myths, you know.
So, you know, one of the things, of course, I've said this before and I won't go through the story,
uh-huh,
but the story of Joseph in Egypt.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, it's today's economic system.
It was the first insurance fraud.
Insurance fraud, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And uh-huh I think of rural cleansing. That's what blew me away.
Yeah.
Because after, you know, the Egyptians had no money because the Depression was created,
yeah,
and they sold, they gave their flocks and then sold themselves into slavery and their children, and then Joseph gathered the people from the country and took them into the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alan, today it's exactly what they're attempting to do, and
yeah,
what they,
right,
quote, intend to do.
In other words, what they give you is ancient stories.
Yeah, I know, it's a story.
Were actually things that were to happen in the future.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The plan was laid out,
yeah,
in the first five books of the Bible.
Or the system, you see.
The system, yeah.
And slavery was one of them.
Well, isn't that, when I say the plan, I guess that's, yeah, what I'm referring to as the system.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why, as I say, that book is on every Masonic lodge, the Black Book, the Book of the Law, you know. And that's the rule book for them. And it's the same with the beginning of the evidence.
Would you do me a favor?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're saying it's a rule book for them.
Uh-huh.
Tell me and tell us, give us some examples of what is in there that would be their rules,
uh-huh,
and it has nothing to do with the profane.
Okay. You take the average person and look at another story, like Jacob,
okay,
who is a bit of a homeboy. He doesn't go out much and do any hunting or anything, but his brother does, you know? And his brother brings home the bacon, you might say, where Jacob pretends to live with his mom, and the birthright is given to be given to the elder son, However, because Jacob is cunning and crafty, he fools his old blind dad into thinking that he is the brother. And gets
that wasn't Jacob. Wasn't that Esau? And what? One of them was hairy, and
Esau was hairy.
Yeah. Okay.
And supposedly
Jacob was the one with the ladder.
Yeah, that's later. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And the ladder is nothing either.
But who is Esau, and who was it?
Yeah.
His brother, anyway.
Yeah.
And he conned his dad. I remember
it was
reading.
Done craftily.
He did it craftily. Yes.
So in other words, it's okay to pull something off which would otherwise be immoral or wrong in society, and it's okay if it's done with craft and cunning. You
mm-hmm.
see? With craft and cunning.
What about the story of Abraham when, she could not, what was her name? Sarah.
Sarah.
She could not, conceive a child, so she sent Hagar, her Egyptian handmaiden, into Abraham, and she was told, quote, by the Lord or the angel of the Lord,
uh-huh.
that it was okay to do that.
Yeah.
And then so he gets.
You mightn't tell him to judge that.
Yeah, right. But what was the guy's name? The boy. Okay, he was the son of Sarah anyway.
Yeah.
Well, then when Isaac gets born after 100 years they've been waiting. Well, then she was jealous, so she wanted him gone. So the Lord said to Abraham, Alan, when I was reading this, I said, oh, my God, the insanity. The Lord said, well, we don't want her to get upset, so put Sarah and her son on an ass and get their asses out of here.
Yeah,
and they sent them out into the desert. And when people read this, I'm thinking, how can people think that this is, quote, the will of a loving creator?
Well, that's there's
but what is the? I mean, is that just another story for them that they can treat people like, throw them away?
You're hearing the same thing today, where there's certain Christians are yelling out that they should kill all the Muslims off. It's the same thing in the Old Testament where they're told to go in and wipe out the whole town and all the animals too, as well as the people. It's the same stuff. It's a rule book.
Except you can keep the fair maidens if you like them.
Well, even that can be against the rules.
Well, yeah. But when you're in a town, I mean, he did define, when I say go in and kill everything, I mean it.
Yeah.
By God.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are certain times, and it's right there in the Old Testament,
yeah.
where he says if you see a maiden that you take a fancy to, well, you can save her out and take her home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And give her 30 days to mourn her dead parents that you killed.
Oh, well, that's decent, yeah.
And then you can take her to wife, uh-huh. and if you don't like her, turn her out.
Yeah, put her off on another ass.
Yeah, put her on an ass and get her ass out of here.
Yeah.
God. So what is the rule there, that you can treat people like animals?
Because that's how the elite have always seen them.
Well, you see, I guess that's what I was saying. That may be an esoteric. Oh, it's their rules, because the rules don't, they.
Mm-hmm.
But Alan,
the rules don't apply.
But the thing is, if somebody reads this
uh-huh.
and actually believes in their mind
yeah.
that it is the will of God,
uh-huh.
they're going to think it's okay. I mean, it might be esoteric,
mm-hmm.
but on an exoteric level, you can see the same message.
Yeah, and that's what you might say is the beauty of mind control. It is mind control. This has been used down through the many, many, many centuries. I mean, the Crusades, that's how they drummed up support for the Crusades, was to tell them they got to go and save the birthplace of Jesus, or that, Jesus get it back and all this stuff. And, they pulled up so many stunts at that time to keep the Crusades going.
Mm-hmm.
And the people really believed that was their worldview, that was their Plato's cave. That's all the education they had was that book.
Yes. And they kept them illiterate for the most part, didn't they, Alan?
Absolutely.
And
they weren't even allowed to read. Even the priest had the Bible chained to the altar. It wasn't until much later.
Why wouldn't they want people to read the Bible that's all in
because
there?
Because the dogma of the Catholic Church had little to do with what was in the book.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. Do you hear the music?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hold your thought.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
I If you'd like to get a copy of this program,
the King
there are a few ways that we can help
and
you.
To his
you may
kingdom
subscribe
on earth as it is in heaven, $45
a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked questions of Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
All right, we're back. Alan, can you pick up where you were?
Yeah, it was talking about the dogma of the church and all the rituals, and which really, when you, if you've ever been to a Catholic church and you see the format, you're up and down on your knees and so on, and repeating after the priest, etc., etc., it's all ritualism, which is an ancient form of indoctrination. Until you obey automatically when you hear certain words or certain gestures. It's instant obedience. It's Pavlovian training, you might say,
mm-hmm.
Long before Pavlov. And a Catholic had emailed me who was had been doubting the faith, and his son was more so. And the son, who was bright, you know, and when he was young, had asked him, if his daddy is his, why did he keep Jesus in a box and only bring him out in communion? For communion.
And hanging on that cross.
No, I mean the wafer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Why did he keep Jesus in a box
the
and
body.
Only bring him out for communion?
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's a simple thing.
So in other words, he really truly believed that it was the flesh of...
Well, that's what they're told.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I have a book that was written by a priest 50 years in the Roman Catholic Church. I can't remember the guy's name. He was Canadian.
Uh-huh.
And he said it was really tough for him,
uh-huh,
when he was going through his seminary training,
yeah,
to get into his mind that wine actually became blood,
uh-huh,
and that wafer actually became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while,
he
convinced himself.
Uh-huh.
He convinced himself.
Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing form of mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by using repetition and dogma and getting the children young until to even think or question is a sin. So you censor yourself when your mind starts to try to think for itself. You literally are torn apart. Yeah. So that's the ancient religion that was, you know, it's still very powerful today. Very wealthy. Yeah. And has always used people to front for them and fight each other. And that's what I'm saying in the dialectic process. The creation of Protestantism really was quite a master stroke in a sense, because if it had no opposition, it would have died away by itself.
Yes.
And when you have opposition, people tend to relate to it almost tribally.
Well, it seems that that's why the opposition came out,
yeah.
The controlled opposition, because the sleeping giant was awakening.
And
the natives were getting restless.
Yeah. And people do tribally come towards that which is the center of their culture and help to protect it when it's under attack. So when Luther came out, that actually helped them maintain their hold to an extent with the ones they still had. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Luther himself was a priest, remember, we keep forgetting. He was a Catholic priest, and then the Protestant sects that loved to slang the Catholics don't realize that all their stuff comes from the same writing, same source as Catholics. You know.
Yeah, well, all the lies were brought right into the Protestant church.
Yeah, they
anyway.
Were.
They just released some of the, you know, like you have to go to confession and
yeah.
You can't eat meat on Fridays and things like this. But the main important lies were brought in.
Yeah.
Right into Protestantism. I have a question in my mind. This just occurred to me from our conversation this evening. Remember, it was back in May, it was a couple of months ago, when I read a part of a conversation. I had transcribed it that you had with Effie.
Uh-huh.
And in that, what you had said to her, and of course you had said it on the air previously, but a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
That within everybody there is a power, spiritual force, you said, if you will, and that the people behind or the creatures, whatever is pushing this, knows it,
yep.
And that is their greatest fear. And when I read it that night, you said, well, but I said that to one person, and you said it isn't really a good thing to say that to just anybody because they might not be ready for it.
Yeah.
Because you said you're opposing their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, then you'll push people away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to thinking about that afterwards, and I thought, opposing their religion by reading some beautiful thing that you said to me that was so powerful that I wanted our listeners to hear. And what are we doing right now, Alan, if it isn't talking about people's religion?
I know, but I wasn't going to go there.
You weren't going to go where? Oh, well, but we do go there.
I know.
But.
I mean, I was on a show last week, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And it went fine until they took callers, and then one guy was so upset to find out I wasn't in his pigeonhole as a born-againer.
Was that with Rick Adams?
Yeah.
I listened to that.
Did you hear the fellow?
Oh, gosh, Alan.
And he was so upset.
I understand that, but you know what?
Yeah.
Rick Adams, him, his own self,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he, and I noticed that, you know, you didn't refute him or anything. You just would say, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we have a different listening audience.
Yeah.
And they've come a long, long, long way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why I not only felt comfortable, but felt just compelled to share that with them, because I had a conversation with one of our listeners
yeah.
a couple of days ago, and I'm getting this from people.
Uh-huh.
They're confused
yeah.
Because, well, they realize that, you know, religions are man-made, and they're coming out of that, and yet when you talk about, now in the past, you have said that they, you know, the big boys, believe that we don't all have spirit and that we have to call spirit to us, et cetera, et cetera. And that everyone doesn't have spirit. Well, what it does is it leaves people, okay, my religion's gone. What is there?
Yeah.
And see, in that conversation, and you had said it before, you didn't say that. You said within everyone is a spiritual force.
It's a force, but really it's the soul force, as they call it.
You said spiritual force, Alan.
Yeah, but again, we hadn't explained the difference.
Okay. I know there's a difference, but I'm saying you said...
Yeah, I know, Jackie. I know, Jackie. I hear you.
Okay.
But what I'm telling you is one of the reasons that religion has been so successful is because the natural, incredible yearning for people for something outside of themselves,
mm-hmm.
which they always just suspect is there. It's something they feel once in a blue moon, you know. But they know it's there. It has been taken over. That natural... seeking, you see.
Yes.
And so they give you a substitute which has a lot of reality in it, a lot of beauty in it too. But then come all the rules and regulations for obedience's sake.
I don't know what the beauty is in what the religion...
If you look at some things in the New Testament, there's things you can't deny there.
Oh, absolutely, the truth. But, okay, for example, I believe that most of the, quote, Christian
uh-huh.
churches, religions, whatever sect it is, believe, okay, either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do certain things.
Yeah.
And it's according to your religion. I mean, like, you know, eat meat on Friday, and buddy, you do that too many times, and you're going to be caught in purgatory for just about ever.
Yeah.
The point is, I don't see a beauty in there.
I just said there's truth in the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
not the religion.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why...
There's truth in there,
yes.
which, of course, are never followed or never stressed either, because it says, seek the truth.
Yes.
It didn't say, stop seeking after I've gone. It says, seek the truth.
Oh, yes.
And an ongoing thing. And, of course, that's what the... See, all founding religions had some truth, if there ever was any founder.
Yes, uh-huh.
Even in the Buddhism. Buddhism had nothing to do with the one that came along 300 years
ago. The teachings of Buddha?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he basically said, this sort of works for me, try it, it might work for you.
Mm-hmm.
He laid down no dogma. And he also said that it's exactly the same thing as Confucius, and it's in the New Testament.
And
treat others as you want to be treated yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I have a paper here that somebody put together,
uh-huh.
and there were quotes from the Buddha, by the Buddha, allegedly,
yeah.
and Confucius, and Jesus,
yeah.
and the truth that you say they are there were all in these same sayings,
yeah.
because they all said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, to me, one of the most simple, not easy, but, you know, with all the Ten Commandments and don't do this and don't do that, and
mm-hmm.
and when they asked Jesus what's the greatest commandment, it was simply to love
mm-hmm.
your Father with all your Creator, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
There's the blueprint for living, Alan.
Yeah, I know.
But you unto others.
Have an order like we have today.
It's the blueprint for living.
Uh-huh.
It's all right there.
Uh-huh.
And other things. If you had faith as a mustard seed,
uh-huh.
you could say to that mountain, get yonder, and it's moving.
Uh-huh.
And that is, I believe, what you were talking about, that it is there, although it says it isn't. If people aren't aware of it, and if people...
It takes a will. It takes...
A desire.
And people, to an extent, are aware of their actions all through their lives. The conscience was always called your connection to your Creator.
Yes.
You know, it's true that the clinically there are people who have no conscience. You know, the psychopaths have
yes.
no conscience.
Yes.
And it's also true that in this system of materialism and power structures, that the psychopath, that's his playground. He climbs to the top in the structuralized system of power. He's the one, in fact, that craves it. He climbs up, and he'll stab anybody to get up there. So he doesn't mind clawing his way to the top. So this is a psychopath-run system. And it's always been this way where you're in a plane where spirit and matter meet. This is the battleground
mm-hmm.
between the two. And this was always understood in all of the ancient religions. This is the battleground.
The third dimensional plane planet.
And the choice was always to be here. What was more important, really, or could there even be harmony between spirit and matter? and what was more important, to have all the goods of the world and lose the spirit, as that's been said so many times over and over in all ancient religions. And of course we know in the world of materialism, unfortunately, as we can look around us, it's the world of materialism that does dominate. That's not the spirit.
Well, and there was a statement that was attributed to Jesus, where he said, "Fear not those who can kill the body,
kill the soul,
but fear those who can kill the soul."
Yeah, and that's what they tried to do, soul destroying. And that religion goes back to Egypt because they had a better definition of the different sections of body and spirit and soul. So it was well understood for thousands of years that this was a battleground between two opposing forces. And of course that was Zoroastrianism as well. It developed into opposing entities. And then of course Christianity in a sense, or the early Catholic Christianity, developed into well, you really have no say in the matter. You're just like a machine, and there's two different forces working through you at different times, God and Satan. You know?
I see.
So, you know, that's not true at all. You do have choices to make, and we do it all our lives. And one way or another, we're bringing on the future. We're participating even when we're quiet, because in our own daily lives, we acquiesce to things where we shouldn't. You know. We're making decisions all the time.
Every moment, aren't we?
Every moment.
Life a drop at a time.
And so many people that I've brought this up to who are older, I'm so sick of hearing it. Well, I'll be glad the worst things will happen when I'm dead.
Isn't that pathetic?
And I said, yeah, that's great. You just leave it to the ones yet to come.
Oh, gosh. You know, my stepdad said that to me when we were talking about the gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And he had made a statement that, well, people don't need guns. And I said, whoa, excuse me. And normally I wouldn't even get in these conversations with he and Mom because they just didn't want to hear it. But I said, actually, when you think about it, people should have whatever weapons your government has to defend yourself against a tyrannical government. And he says, and I said, Dale, you're on my turf here now. I didn't say it that way, but it's something that I do know about. He just shrugged. He said, I don't care anyway, because I'll be dead soon. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't hardly believe my ears. That somebody could not care what's going to happen as long as they're not here.
Yep.
And to hell with everybody that's left.
And the reason we are in this state is because our predecessors did the same thing and says, well, I see what's happening, they said nothing, and here we are, we're watching the changes happen.
Yep.
And still people are hoping to retire, get their pension, go fishing, and quietly die in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Until they
get a big fine for catching too big a fish and get their boat taken away from them.
But, well, you know, even the ice fishing here now, every winter, your local television station is just part of the propaganda control mechanism. Because they always show you the ice fishermen on the local lakes in Sudbury. And now you see the police going around each little hut demanding to see their licensing and see what they're catching.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's real pleasure, isn't it?
Oh, sure.
Or you go boating in a canoe and you're going to see if you've got all your survival gear there.
Well, your license has to be on the side of that canoe, too.
Yeah, and you got to make sure you're breathing his face and all that, make sure you're up drinking. And,
yep.
Well, what fun. Everything is such fun now under Big Brother,
mm-hmm.
for our safety. And I can see where they'll probably remove that part of the brain that gives us even laughter, you know, because it might distract us in an important moment and cause an accident.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is how ridiculous it's getting with Big Brother.
Yes.
But yeah, this is all part of the same
system plan.
Ancient plan of total domination of every individual. And it's true, they want to kill the soul. You know, they want to kill the
soul.
Well, yeah.
And what you have said is that basically they're trapped here,
mm-hmm.
and they want a certain amount of worker bees and et cetera, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to trap somebody here
mm-hmm.
unless you can somehow, I don't know if the word is capture the soul, but
mm-hmm.
kill the soul.
Yeah. Well, do you think of the first purely man-made, put-together composite clone? There's going to be a big debate right there, you know. Is this a perfect human or not?
Yeah.
So we're in trouble. So this is where it's heading. And
So far, even
in the old Hebrew literature, and it is a massive literature, it's well worth reading because there's a lot of good stuff in here. And it said the place that the souls come from was called the Gath, and that the day would once, and each sparrow used to be symbolic of bringing down a soul.
Is that is that G A F F?
I think so.
Gath.
And then one day there'll be no souls brought down. And what will that human and a person would be born with no soul? And that's where we've got today.
Well, how that would be then would have to be the test tube, the ones that are, you know, like was it in 1984 where they were incanted, or was it in this perfect day where people were not born to a woman?
Oh yeah. Oh, you were thinking of Brave New World.
Brave, excuse me, yes.
Yeah.
What did I say? Brave New World.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you're looking at there, because they do, and they have the ability right now, and they may have done it already, to literally make a new type of creature, and suited for the purpose it was made for.
In other words, take an egg and mess around with that?
Yeah, you want someone to go down mines, a little squat fellow, you know, with not too much brain, but very strong.
And, yes.
But not an independent thinker. In fact, I've said that.
And in Brave New World, they were literally, what is the word that I'm trying to say, born, raised in, incubated into the, like, jars.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Incubated?
Incubated. Yes.
Okay. That,
artificial wombs.
Yes, and they would, according to what their job was going to be, how much intelligence they needed, they were given just enough oxygen.
That's exactly what's happening, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And we know in the writing...
Well, that's what they want to do.
Yeah. And the thing is, this is not speculation, because there are people who worked for the UN, like Arthur Koestler.
Yes.
Who wrote the book about it, praising it, actually, its whole agenda, to destroy that part of the brain that gives you your individuality.
Well, you know what I say it gives?
Yeah.
It gives people something to really think about.
Well, they can.
All of us. Well, yes, and I'm not excluding myself from this.
Uh-huh.
Not one bit. How? The decisions that we will make, and how... Alan, what about a person who doesn't feel compassion?
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that, and this is just a thought that just now came to me, a question. If this person, let's say they're listening to this broadcast, and they think, well, geez, that would be me, because that's the way I feel or don't feel. What's wrong with me? Where is my compassion?
Yeah.
If a person begins to look at that and look at themselves and realize that there is no compassion for other people. In other words, okay, for example, you know, we've lived a lie in America all of our lives in the American dream, and I find out that it's a total hoax, and so then I want people to know it. I want to share it with people and hopefully have them look at it and understand it. And this gentleman that I was, you know, we had a little discourse going back and forth. He said, I don't care what other people think. And if that's, you know, what do you care? I said, because it wrenches my heart. Because I was there. I used to cry. Shed, at least I would tear up with love and, quote, pride that I was an American. And that this is the most wonderful place in the whole world you could be born. And when I found out it was, really had to admit, accept, that I had been living in that dream.
Yeah.
I was angry. I was upset. I felt betrayed. I got through it. I want people to know it. And it's not because I want to, quote, push a belief onto somebody. It isn't a belief. It's that it is so. And without knowing the truth, how can we ever begin to come out of the lie?
I know. And there are people who will... I mean, there are a lot of degrees of psychopathy out in society, you know.
Of what?
Psychopathic nature.
Do you think a person who might start considering this and realizes that they don't feel... They realize that they don't feel something for someone else as long as it isn't happening to them?
Yeah.
Do you think that could be the beginning for that individual to come into that, to begin to be able to get what is their true inheritance anyway?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is possible?
Well, you can't, Ross, if it's possible, you can't do it for them.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I didn't even insinuate that.
Yeah, see, most will never. If there's nothing there at all, it generally stays that way. I mean, nothing.
Even if they hear us talking right now?
Yeah, I mean, there are people who I mean, I've met some through my life who feel nothing for other people. They are psychopathic natured. And they feel nothing. Their ego's syntonic. And that's a nature that was going to be encouraged in the 20th century, was this push for me, I'm okay. And that whole thing has been pushed within everybody. But there's natural psychopaths as well, and there's a lot of them. I don't know why.
You mean they come into this world psychopathic?
Oh, there's lots. There's lots. And they used to think it was just ones in the lower strata who came under scrutiny of the law. But now that the studies they've done, they're terrified because they're finding that the bulk of the intelligent ones are going up into politics and bureaucracies and where the power is. So we're in trouble.
They're targeting the special children.
Oh, yeah.
Even from the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they know the ones with high intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones they target to bring into the system.
Oh, I know. Yeah, well, that's traditional, though.
And the child feels proud that they've been, quote, chosen.
Uh-huh.
And the parents feel proud.
And that's what the young Communist League did, you see. They got to the young ones at school. They picked certain ones to be the leaders. And they committed some atrocities. The Hitler youth did the same thing. It's standard techniques. Or ancient techniques that will work every time.
Mm-hmm.
You give the certain ones authority, tell them they're important, it boosts their ego, especially if they have a low ego. It'll boost it up there and they'll serve their masters faithfully and do what they're told and carry out any kind of order.
For that acknowledgement.
And that's exactly what you want for this world war that's going on right now.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're out of our hour.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So, whatever you would like our listeners to know, to, you know, with the website and your videos and et cetera.
Yeah, they can check out the website at cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and lots of free downloadable stuff there, lots of talks, and watch out for the video that's coming out next week. Now.
Oh, okay. Another one. Great. Alan, thank you.
That's a pleasure.
Yes, and ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with you next Wednesday night. Be sure to tune in Monday and Tuesday for Darren Week. And I'm not just saying that. I wouldn't say it. If I wouldn't have asked Darren to take over this broadcast, there's nobody I would have asked but him. So tune in.
So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government. If you appropriate our sacred symbols for paranoid purposes and compare yourselves to colonial militias who fought for the democracy you now rail against, you are wrong. How dare you call yourself...